The World This Week. News and analysis. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News, reporting on the CBS Radio Network. All in all, this past week was a pretty discouraging one from many standpoints. The cost of living continued to climb not only in the U.S. but elsewhere in the Western world. The running conflict of Protestant and Catholic in Northern Ireland passed a macabre milestone with the death of the 1,000th person to be killed in the present round of this centuries-old dispute. And the fighting along the Golan Heights increased in intensity even as plans were made for new talks. The persistent spiral of inflation was coupled this week with bad news about the country's GNP, the gross national product, total output of all goods and services. Figures out this week showed a drop in the annual rate of the GNP of 5 8/10% in the first quarter of the year, a sharper drop than was expected and the largest since the recession of 1958. Some are saying we are already in another recession, if not depression. But beyond that, there is dispute over what to do about it. Two liberal Democratic senators, Kennedy and Mondale, want to cut taxes. Kennedy spoke during his visit to Moscow.
The intentions of Senator Mondale and myself are to introduce an amendment at the first opportunity in the Senate to provide a stimulus to the economy by a tax relief. This, I believe, would provide an economic stimulus, but also provide some tax equity for the American people.
But an outspoken liberal economist, John Kenneth Galbraith, says he would raise taxes.
I would increase taxes at the present time on earnings, say, above $15,000. I would do that as an indication that I was being very serious about inflation. I would then, by all means, keep controls, firm controls, on prices and wages in the industrial sector of the economy.
But it was this week that many of the remaining controls on prices and wages were removed. The head of the Cost of Living Council, Dr. John Dunlop, said this would not have any direct effect on the Phase 4 coverage of the Consumer Price Index, already at a new high. He also said there is no easy or immediate solution.
This problem of inflation isn't going to go away. It is a problem that no Western society does very well at. It's a problem that we will be struggling with in this and other countries for the rest of the century, as I see it.
And it is a worldwide problem. From India in the east to the South American country of Chile, whose military junta hopes to contain Chile's rate of inflation at only 100% this year, to Western Europe. The British this week reported their worst trade deficit in history. This week, Britain's Prime Minister Harold Wilson paid a visit to the turbulent province of Ulster, Northern Ireland, vowing not to give up in the continuing battle against violence.
What I want to make clear today is the utter determination of Her Majesty's government that violence will not succeed. To use the phrase which has now been interwoven into all discussion about Northern Ireland, the men of violence are not going to bomb their way to the conference table.
But within hours, or days, depending on the tabulation, the list of dead in the present round of the conflict reached the 1,000 mark, and even that was passed by the time the week ended. One somewhat brighter outlook this week occurred in Washington and Cairo, with the formal presentation of credentials by the new Egyptian and U.S. ambassadors restoring full diplomatic relations for the first time since the 67 war. The credentials presentations, normally routine protocol affairs, were given special highlight treatment in both capitals. Still, peace seemed far away on the Golan Heights between Syria and Israel. Michael O'Sullivan reports from Beirut.
As fierce battles for control of Mount Hermon raged throughout the past week, President Assad of Syria declared that his country was fighting for a just peace. This is not really a paradox. Syria, it appears, believes that by regaining the crest of Mount Hermon, which dominates the Golan Heights, it can strengthen its negotiating position and break the deadlock over disengagement with Israel. The Syrian government, echoing militant public opinion, insists on the restoration of all its territory captured by Israel. So far, Israel has been unwilling to give back more than a small portion of this. The gap between the two sides has been too wide for even Dr. Kissinger to bridge. The Syrians have not closed the door to a negotiated settlement, but have made it clear they will fight if this fails. Thus, the balance between war and peace is a very delicate one. Michael O'Sullivan, CBS News, Beirut.
Secretary Kissinger, who will head back to the Middle East on the 25th, was concentrating this past week on U.S. relations with its Latin American neighbors. Addressing his fellow foreign ministers attending the OAS meeting in Atlanta, Kissinger called for new cooperation on the basis of equal partnership.
The spirit of dialogue, of give and take, that has so enriched our meetings in Mexico and Washington must be perpetuated. For its part, the United States pledges that it will not seek to impose its political preferences and that it will not intervene in the domestic affairs of its Western Hemisphere neighbors.
Kissinger did not mention Cuba, but some of the others did, saying it's time for the OAS to review its estrangement with the regime of Fidel Castro. And in the corridors, the expectation was that Cuba will be invited to attend the next OAS meeting in March of next year. A second subpoena was served on the president this week for the additional tapes and documents relating to the Watergate cover-up, originally requested by Special Prosecutor Jaworski in January. And the president suffered another setback when the Republican candidate lost a special congressional election in Michigan's 8th District, despite a personal campaign visit there last week by Mr. Nixon. The seat had been held by the Republicans for the past 40 years. As the week ended, Vice President Ford was addressing California Republicans, urging them, in effect, not to let the Democrats turn the coming November congressional elections into a national referendum on President Nixon.
The Democrats are seeking maximum exploitation, and I underline exploitation, on a national basis of what might be the greatest controversy ever generated about a president of the United States. That problem is being resolved, as it should be, by the Congress in accordance with our Constitution. And if we, as Republicans who are out in the grassroots, permit ourselves to become endlessly embroiled in that issue, we will forfeit elections from coast to coast.
Correspondent Phil Jones, covering the vice president's activities, says the speech was filled with subtlety, and the main theme appeared to be Republicans, don't let the Democrats and President Nixon destroy the grand old party. The week began with a bizarre note, a bank robbery in California staged by members of the Symbionese Liberation Army, acknowledged kidnappers of Patricia Hearst. And Patricia took part in the robbery, willingly or unwillingly isn't clear, even though the Attorney General of the United States concluded that she was a willing participant, as he branded her a common criminal, much to the astonishment of many legal observers. A sorrowing mother, Mrs. Hearst, reflected this concern.
I'm terribly surprised and saddened that the Attorney General of the United States would characterize Patty as a common criminal when she's never been convicted of a crime. It's always been my understanding of American justice that a person is always presumed innocent until proven guilty. And I just hope the Attorney General won't make any more prejudicial statements against Patricia.
The director of the FBI, Clarence Kelly, says he considers Patricia, so far, as only a material witness. The World This Week has been produced by Harry Poloshin. I'm Alan Jackson, CBS News.